Well, welcome to week seven of the Coming Soon series. Week seven out of nine. Yes, we are approaching the beginning of the end. Oops, I think I forgot something important in the car. I'll be back. Excuse me. Well, sorry for the waiting, and sorry for the interruption as well. Let's begin again. Do you like waiting? I don't think nobody like waiting, right? I hate waiting at the traffic light. I hate waiting at the fast food drive-thru. I hate waiting in the grocery checkout. And I hate waiting at the gas station. And I don't know, every time I was in line, I always find that after I am done the waiting, there's no more lineup, you know. Usually I have a long lineup in front of me, but somehow, you know, there's no one behind me. You can ask my family members to verify this mysterious, you know, experience. Anyway, as we enter the seventh week of the Coming Soon series, let's talk about waiting. Waiting for the coming one. Before the world comes to an end, the world indeed will go through a lot of tribulation. After the seven seals, there were seven trumpets. And then come seven bowls. For the past few weeks, we have been studying a little bit about this different features in the book of Revelation. And going from a quarter to a third and finally to a complete destruction. Each wrath of God got progressively worse. And despite all the signs, people still do not repent. They keep on pursuing wealth, power, and engage in all kinds of idol worship. And between the seven seals and the seven trumpets, actually, there were two voices. And for 2,000 years, the church has been living within the tension of these two voices. When the fifth seal was opened, there comes the first voice. It's the voice from those who are being persecuted. People like the Apostle John who were being exiled, or people who have given up their life because of following God. Today we have some challenges in our PowerPoint. So if you have a Bible or if you have your phone, you're welcome to follow me along. Book of Revelation, chapter 6, verse 10. They cry out with a loud voice, "O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Or using another version called the NASB, the New American Standard Bible, it says, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who live on earth?" So people were waiting and they were crying to the Lord, "How long?" The persecuted were asking the Lord, "How long?" And how come it was the righteous people who were persecuted? How come it was the evildoers who prosper? Would there even be a final vindication? And when? They don't know. The second voice is a loud voice from an angel. Revelation chapter 10, verse 5 and 6. After the sixth trumpet is blown and before the seventh trumpet comes, Revelation chapter 10, verse 5. "And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised his right hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever that there will be no more delay. There will be no more delay. The angels swore that there will be no more delay. So for 2,000 years, God's people has been living within the tension of these two voices. On one hand, how long, O Lord, how long will you, before you will judge and avenge our blood? On the other hand, there will be no more delay. And as Christ follower, we are facing all the unfair and sometimes disappointing realities. We're asking also, why? Why? Why are we still waiting? Not just for a year, not just 20 years, but it has been 2,000 years since, you know, Christ's time. What is the true meaning of following Jesus? What is, why do we still take our faith seriously? So, have you ever wondered? At the end of the day, will all our waiting will become a waste? Will all our waiting will become a waste? And what if all that we have given up for Jesus simply become nothing? And what if all that we have done for Jesus simply go down the drain? After 6 weeks, we have finally entered the beginning of the end of the book of Revelation. Are you glad that? As we are unpacking chapter 19 and 20 this evening, let's keep this question in mind. At the end of the day, will all our waiting become a waste? Will all our waiting become a waste? Well, the good news is, as the host mentioned, that we have good news today. The good news is no. All our waiting is not a waste. And let's go back to the book of Revelation, chapter 19 and 20, and let the Apostle John give you three reasons why our waiting is not a waste, okay? Reason number one, all our waiting is not a waste because the coming one is the triumphant king. The coming one is the triumphant king. In Revelation, the term open, if you remember, for the past few weeks, we have been mentioning that the term open was mentioned actually four times. Chapter 4, chapter 11, chapter 15, and chapter 19. And all these four open moments divide the book into five sections. Chapter 19, verse 11, comes the fourth and the last open. Then I saw heaven open. Oh, good. Thank God the PowerPoint is back. And behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and Truth. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, John said, he saw a white horse. John showed that what would happen at the end of the world history. And then 19:12, his eyes are like a flame of fire. And on his head are many diadems, crowns. And he has a name written that no one knows but himself. Verse 13, his cloth in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And from his mouth come a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty. Verse 16, on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, which is familiar, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Well, after John described the rider on that white horse, the focus now is switched to the villain, the bad guys. Verse 19, and I saw the beasts and the kings of the earth with their armies gather to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. This is the Avenger Endgame. Okay. And for those who keep reading, you would expect, wow, something vigorous will be happening. There will be a war, it will be the final battle. And if you like the Marvel movie, you probably will do all the association, right? And you would wonder, who would win? Would it be the evil alliance among the beasts, the false prophet, and the dragon. If you remember, you know, the past few weeks, we studied a little bit about that. Or would the winner be the Lamb of God? Who will win? And guess what? And unlike the Marvel movies, this endgame battle in Revelation is indeed a little bit, actually quite different. Verse 20, and the beast was captured, and with it the false prophet. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. Then in chapter 20, let's jump a little bit, God enables the apostle to witness the end of Satan. Verse 8, chapter 20. Satan will come out to deceive the nations that are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. And they march up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. But you thought there would be another final battle, right? But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. In just one verse, you know, another quick war. The devil who had received them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophets were. So they all go to the same place. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. If you just start reading at this chapter, chapter 20, this end game seems a little bit simple. Do you find that? Too rushed. You know, I wish they will have at least five chapters, you know, describe what happened. It looks like that once Jesus appeared, the battle is over. But if you remember, if you have a good memory, you know, actually, in Revelation chapter 12, actually, Satan has already been defeated. When Jesus was crucified on Good Friday, when he shed his blood on the cross, Satan actually was already defeated. When Jesus overcame death and rose on the third day, Satan has lost his grip over death and Hades. When Jesus ascended to heaven and received the scroll from God, Satan was thrown down from heaven to earth. And when Jesus opened the scroll and the seal, Satan knew that actually his destiny has come to an end. All Satan could do at that particular moment was to deceive. Deceive means that this is no real work, but he's just tried to behave something, you know, to fight for a battle which was already lost. That's the reality. That's the reality. So when Jesus returned, the battle was already over. So let's recap the first reason. All our waiting is not a waste because the coming one is the triumphant king. Reason number two, all our waiting is not a waste because the coming one is the final judge. The final judge. Perhaps you might ask, well, if Jesus did not return to fight the final battle, then why did he come back, you know? Is there for a reason? Actually, Jesus returned for a specific purpose, to make the most complete and fair judgment. Although Satan, the beast, and the false prophet was already thrown to the lake of fire, as we just read, this Revelation story is not done, remember, as the righteous people has not been vindicated, right? Even the bad guy was gone, but still, you remember the two voices, right? The first voice says, "Oh Lord, how long before you will judge and avenge our blood," right? We just read at the beginning of our message, on those who dwell on earth. How long? The voice of the persecutor has yet to be settled. This is unpaid bill here. And this is the reason why there's a passage at the end of chapter 20 of Revelation on God's final judgment for all mankind. So let's take a look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, a passage which is called Judgment Before the Great White Throne. Verse 11, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it, From his presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead was judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. Verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. This is the most complete and ultimate final judgment. Verse 14, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Is your name found written in the book of life? As we take a closer look, this book of life actually has a longer name. Revelation 13 verse 8 says, and all who dwell on earth will worship it, everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. That is the kind of the full name of this book of life. This unique book of life belongs to the Lamb, Jesus. This book records everything that Jesus has done in his earthly ministry. And God knows exactly, clearly, whether your name is part of this special story. God knows whose name is recorded in this story of salvation, in this story of redemption. And when the days come, our eternal destiny will be hinged upon two things. Number one, our eternal destiny hinges on the judgment. It is the most complete and fair judgment. And at the great white throne, everyone will receive a fair judgment, because God and only God is the final judge, right? And he will right every wrong. He will right every wrong. So this is the day. Number two, our eternal destiny also hinges upon this book of life. Jesus' blood shed on the cross is able to cleanse all our sins. It is a total cleansing. Our debt of sins are repaid, all iniquities are forgiven. And all of those who have followed him faithfully will be with Jesus forever. So, tonight, for those of us who has not crossed this line of faith, I'm glad that you choose to join us this evening. And I encourage you to take tonight, Christmas 2023, as a spiritual milestone, your spiritual starting point. You say to Jesus, yes, I want to be included. I want to be included in your story. I want to be included in this book of life. I want my name to be found in this book of life of the Lamb who was slain. So let's take this Christmas 2023, your spiritual starting point, and say yes to Jesus' invitation and cross the line of faith. All our waiting is not a waste, because the coming one is the triumphant King. All our waiting is not a waste, because God is the final judge. But that's not all the reason, right? There are three. All our waiting is not a waste. Reason number three, because the coming one is the true bridegroom. Let's read Revelation chapter 19, verse 6. Then I heard what seems to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the mighty reigns." Actually, if you have time, this term "Hallelujah," you thought that is everywhere in the Bible. No, actually, in this few chapters at the end of Revelation, it appears the most, actually. Verse 7. Let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. Verse 9. And the angel said to me, write this, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Welcome to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's imagine for 1 second that you are invited to a very special wedding banquet. At the reception, to your surprise, you were told that you are not on the guest list. Oops. What am I supposed here for? But then the usher told you, actually, you are the bride. What? Will you be surprised? Or will you be embarrassed? What? I'm the bride? You know? No way, right? But if you are reading this Revelation 20 passage, let me give you a little bit a deeper, you know, understanding. Because we might have missed out. We are all living in the 21st century, right? If you think about marriage, you know, think about maybe either Canadian marriage or Chinese marriage, which is connected with what we are reading. But because you remember, you know, this book, it was written in the first century in the Jewish world. So let me just tell you a little bit about what marriage was like in first century in the Jewish culture. For Jewish wedding, there were actually three steps, betrothal, preparation, and actual wedding ceremony. Number one, betrothal. At betrothal, a guy will bring his best man and go to visit the bride's home and meet with the bride's father, okay? Besides just a meet and greet, it was also a time for the groom to settle a price, okay? This is involved, you know, you have to have a sum of money for the wedding gift with the bride's family. And after hours of negotiation, they finally come to an agreement, thank God. A covenant would then be drawn up and signed. And at this very moment, the groom, this is the Jewish way, right, would propose a toast to the bride's father. And this is what the groom will say. This cup is our new covenant. This cup is our new covenant. That is the bride to the bride's father, right? But does this sound familiar? Right? Once a month? Seems like that we have this line, you know, in our service, right? Although the betrothal is completed, the couple cannot live happily ever yet. This is just the first step, Jewish way, okay? Number two, preparation. After betrothal, the groom will say farewell and go home, the groom. The couple will use this period to prepare, actually, to prepare for the actual wedding. The groom would start to prepare a room for the bride. He would also prepare the wedding banquet. The bride, of course, will also prepare herself to learn as much as she can about becoming someone's wife. Although the couple are still separated in space, maybe they live in different villages or, you know, miles away, but they would be treated as married already because they were betrothed. So this is a term which is different from what we talk about engage in our modern mind, okay? Step number three for a Jewish marriage supper, okay? Forget about Chinese banquet for a second. When everything is ready, the groom will bring the best man and his close friend and travel all the way to take the bride. And no one in the bride's house would know exactly when the groom is coming. Interesting. And when the groom party finally arrive at the village, they will yell, "The groom has arrived! The groom has arrived!" You know, and sometimes it happens in the nighttime. And the bride who has been waiting for weeks or even months will come out with her bridesmaid to welcome the groom. The groom will then take the bride back home, and then the wedding celebration will finally start. In Luke chapter 22, at the Last Supper, Jesus told his disciples, "This cup that is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood, For I tell you that from now on, remember it's Jesus telling disciples now, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God's come, until the marriage of the Lamb. Huh? So for this marriage, do you know that? How much did Jesus pay for this wedding gift? 10 bucks? 1,000? 1,000,000? No, Jesus did not pay any monetary gift. The price he paid to redeem the bride was his own life. His own life. His own blood shed on the cross. Yes, the covenant has been made. Yes, the groom has gone back to his father's house. He is now preparing a room for the bride. And one day the groom will return and bring the bride home into eternity. So, who is the bride of Jesus? Of course, it's the church. It is you and me. It is God's people. Church, we are not just engaged. We are already betrothed. All our waiting is not a waste, because Jesus is the triumphant King. All our waiting is not in vain, because God is the final judge. And all our waiting is not in vain, because Jesus is the true bridegroom. Yes, it is worth the waiting. The waiting will never become a waste. For the bride has already made the covenant, and he will come back anytime. Revelation chapter 19 verse 7 says, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. The Lamb is telling the church, I have chosen you as my beloved wife. I will love you forever. The blood being shed on the cross is the proof of my love for you. As we conclude this message, let's bow down and have a time of reflection. Tonight we learn that God is not just a triumphant King. God is not just the final judge. Revelation is not just an action movie, but a love drama, because Jesus indeed is the true bridegroom. For those who have already accepted Jesus as your Savior, do you realize that you are already betrothed? Bride, how are you treating your better half? How are you treating your groom? Do not forget that you have a marriage covenant with the Lamb. Do not forget that someone has already redeemed you by his own blood. Do not forget that you belong to him, not just for a year, but for eternity. And do not forget that one day the groom will return to take you, the bride. So at Christmas 2023, let me invite you to really, really have Jesus in your life. Not just as a master, not just as a teacher, but as a spouse, as what we just learned. And let me invite you at Christmas 2023 to make a vow to Jesus, as a bride will make a vow to the groom. Let's make a vow to the one who loves us, to the one who gave himself up for us on the cross. Let's stand and worship the Lord. At the end of the book of Revelation, God says to those who are waiting, surely I'm coming quickly. And those who are waiting reply, amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. Like a bride waiting for her groom, let's be a church ready for him. As we sing, even so come, Lord Jesus, come. Yes, even so come, Lord Jesus. let's worship the Lord together.